Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're looking at current events in the light of Bible prophecy. This will be up on the webpage, billybrim.org. And lots of you have been contacting us and say, where are you? We haven't heard an update on current events in the light of Bible prophecy in a long time. Well, that one of the main reasons is I've been traveling so much. I was gone almost 2 months to Australia and to Israel. And didn't have the means to get this up over there. Maybe we will before too long, but we don't have it right now. So I want to look today, and we're gonna emphasize speeches. And the first one we'll start with is a speech made by Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, on Monday, August 10. And I'm speaking to you on August 12th, right Wednesday. So I'll be reading to you from Art Shaver's account of it. He visited some of the people who had been displaced when Gush Katif, when Sharon had put the people out of the Gaza Strip. And so he went to visit them, and he had visited one community particularly, and they have resettled in another place. And what he's talking to them about actually has a lot to do with his whole idea. Now, when we were in Israel, we were addressed by one of the top members of his cabinet. And they said there is like a new, I'm not going to put this out on the internet. I don't want it on the internet. But if you want to get an account of what was said, a little bit of what was said to us, talking about an awakening happening in Israel, you can get on our mailing list and we will send you the Glory Watch by mail free. So just call in, call 1-800-972-3447 and say, put my name on the mailing list and send me the current Glory Watch. But we had heard this already, that there had been like a change of attitude in Israel, and Netanyahu's speech reflects it. On the way to where these people have resettled, he visited a historic site in Israel's past. And he called upon them to remember the spectacular historic sites in the land of Israel, the historic biblical sites in particular. And he said, on my way to this community, I saw the hill Tel Lachish. I stopped the motorcade. We walked around and I climbed the hill. And before me, I saw the amazing sight of one of the most spectacularly beautiful hills, and one of the richest in our history and in the history of mankind. This is our land. Climb the hill. Visit this hill. Lead the people of Israel and foreign tourists in climbing it. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came here and conquered the area. He came and he went. We are here. And after that, the Babylonians came. They came, they destroyed, they conquered, but they fell. And we are here. Many others came, but we are here. We are here in the Lachish region. It is our possession, part of the state of Israel, of the Jewish people who returned to its land and reestablished its sovereignty. I would like to speak about our heritage. Now remember, I'm speaking and reading you from Benjamin Netanyahu's speech just this past Monday. Now he's talking to people that were displaced out of the land. I would like to speak about our heritage, our land, and our history. There is no future without the past. First and foremost, we must establish the past. Therefore, one decision we made on the way here was that we are going to rehabilitate the spectacular sites of Jewish heritage here, there, and in other sites. Now, you know what's been happening in Israel for some past administrations? They've been ignoring the Jewish history. They've been ignoring the Bible right to the land. The people who are religious and the people who are knowledgeable, the ones who live on what the world calls the West Bank, say, we've got a right to this place. The Bible is our right to this place. And I'm not going to name the name of this prime minister, but a former prime minister said, the Bible is just a book of myths. It is some records. It's historical. And it's some records of ancient land deals, but they have no application today. So therefore, when Israel gave up its belief that God gave them the land and let the world ignore it, then the world ignored it and started moving on how the world thinks. But what's happening here to Benjamin Netanyahu is just as we were told when we were in Israel by one of his cohorts, an awakening. And he's awakening the people back to their beginnings. The Bible tells the Jews, remember. Remember what your fathers told you. Remember the rock from which you are hewn. Deuteronomy 32 says, go back and ask your ancient ones about what happened. So now they're standing up. We're praying for an awakening. And now they are standing up and awakening to the fact that the Bible is their right to the land. And they're going to call it. He said, I'm going to restore the places. And I'm going to call the world's attention to the fact that we have the right to be here. Then he apologized for the disengagement. Now, the disengagement was when Sharon moved those Jews out of Gaza. We talked here. We were on our webcast, and we've written many things about how the land called Gaza was given by God to the Jews. They completely ignored it at the time of the disengagement. Netanyahu was a member of Sharon's government during that disengagement. So he apologizes to these people that have been kicked out. We cannot deny the mistakes made during the disengagement. And unfortunately, we see that what we received in exchange is an Iranian base. Oh my goodness. Shelley's here in the audience. She's gone with me many times to visit those people before they were kicked out. They knew what to tell their government. They knew it was going to be an Iranian base. They knew, and their homes have been desecrated. I'm forgetting, more than 100 synagogues have been desecrated. The beautiful greenhouses they had and shipped plants and flowers all over the world have been desecrated. And what's in its place? An Iranian base. Now he admits it. He was a member of that government, Netanyahu. He said last Monday, we did not get peace or security. We suffered thousands of rockets fired at our communities from Gan Yavne to Beersheba to Ashkelon and Ashdod and, of course, Sderot. Now, listen to this. Listen to this, folks. He's standing up. The Bible says they'll stand up. We will not accept rockets fired on our communities. Not a dribble, not a trickle, not a hail of rockets, and not just one rocket. Israel will not suffer rocket fire. We will respond to every rocket fired. Yesterday there was rocket fire, and last night we responded. Our enemies should know that this is our policy. We will not suffer rocket fire on our communities. This clarity, this resolution shall be clear to everyone. You know what those past administrations did? Shelley knows this. They sat there and let them rain down hundreds of rockets upon the little town of Sderot. But it is an awakening. I'm telling you, this is a sign of an awakening. We're not going to even take one. Every single one, we're going to answer back to. And then Netanyahu continues. We're making two demands. Now, remember this. I want you to pay attention, especially to the first one. We're going to make two demands, recognition and security. He talks about we're willing for peace. We want peace. But we want a peace in which the other side recognizes our rights to this land. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, this is not what we've heard for a while. We want peace where the other side recognizes our rights in this land, our history in this land, in the national right of the Jewish people to its own country, not because that will lead to the legitimacy of recognition for us, but because it's the only way our neighbors will begin to accept the fact of our existence and our right to exist here. In other words, he said, they're going to have to say that we have got the right to exist. And the second thing we want is security. We must always ensure that there is appropriate security. These are the two basic principles that we firmly insist on, and I think this is slowly being accepted by the international community. The international community will accept it. If Israel will, at least the United States, and other friendly countries will accept it if Israel stands up and accept it, and they've not been doing it. This is absolutely the sign of an awakening. Now, we're just about ready to mail out a Glory Watch, our magazine. And a lot of the things in it cover our recent trip to Israel. We were in Israel with a tour group in June. Now, I was there for several speeches. Now, the first speech I heard while I was there, there were three things, one, two, three, that happened. The first thing was President Obama's Cairo speech. Everybody in Israel wanted to hear what President Obama said. So President Obama went to Cairo and gave a speech. When he gave the speech, Israel reacted. And their take on it was, he is trying to disengage the United States from us, and he is trying to woo the Islamic Arab states. So the reaction in Israel was they felt betrayed. Now, then they waited because their prime minister was due the next Sunday to address their Knesset, their government. So they waited to hear what Prime Minister Netanyahu was going to say. And he did mention a two-state agreement. He said, I could go with a two-state agreement. They didn't like it that he said that, a Palestinian state alongside a Jewish state. But he made strong qualifying conditions. Number one, they have to agree that we have the right to exist. The Palestinian community does not agree that Israel has the right to exist. So, then everybody waited to see what would be the Palestinian reaction. One, two, three. And the Palestinian reaction was, Prime Minister Netanyahu has made negotiations for peace impossible by demanding that we recognize Israel's right to exist. Folks, imagine. Should the world expect Israel to give up land to somebody who denies their right to exist? Shelley, I want to deal with you for that land that I'm going to take from you. But before we sign the contract, I want you to know that you have no right to exist. I don't know whether we're going to wipe you out or blow you off the map or what. So praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for these things. I had one more thing I wanted to say. We went to Washington, D.C. in July with CUFI, Christians United for Israel. We had three talking points. The first talking point was, don't pressure Israel for not keeping their commitments. Pressure the side that didn't keep their commitments. So I saw that 71 senators have gone to President Obama, and they've written him a letter, both sides of the aisle, and they ask him, please stop pressing Israel and press the opposition to recognize and normalize their relations with Israel. So I see that we have had some good that we did there, and we invite you to join us in joining CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And this is Billy Brim and the voice of one witness saying, Shalom, shalom, and we'll be back with you tomorrow by radio.